Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting, Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma.
In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads from the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power. The Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder.
Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more.
Toyota, let's go places.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Now here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
What a week it's been, and we're not done yet. Welcome into another emergency podcast, Thursday, December 8th. Frank Stanfield joined by Scott White, and this time we have another one of those premier shortstops. Xander Bogaerts signing an 11-year, $280 million deal with the San Diego Padres. He's leaving the Boston Red Sox and headed out west. We know the Padres have been looking to spend some big money. There were rumors that they offered Aaron Judge a monster deal as well, and instead they wind up with Xander Bogaerts. Scott, to be honest, I don't know why teams are just handing out 11-year contracts to 29- and 30-year-old shortstops, but I'm not a general manager, so I don't have to make that decision. Anyway, let's talk about Xander Bogaerts. Coming off a bit of a disappointing season, great batting average still, .307, but 15 home runs, that's definitely down from what we've seen from Xander Bogaerts in the past. He still ran a little bit, 8 steals. I got to say, Scott, and Padres fans are not going to like me for this, I don't really like this move for Xander Bogaerts' value. You look at,
I don't either.
His career in Fenway Park, .872 OPS. Career on the road, .758. I know the Padres are a really good lineup, but this is a big, big downgrade in terms of park factors. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I want to mention that probably what these GMs are thinking, handing 11-year contracts to 30-year-old shortstops, is I'm not going to be the one who has to figure it out later.
That's true.
Certainly in the case of Dombrowski, he's pretty old. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Bogaerts going to San Diego. Yeah, no, it seemed like, and I hadn't looked that closely at this before, but it seemed like he was perfectly suited for Fenway Park, particularly as we're coming out of this juice ball era. Xander Bogaerts has always been a guy who produced middling exit velocities, but got the most out of it by pulling the ball over the green monster with frequency. Look at his spray chart from this past year. I mean, they're pretty much all hit that direction. 10 of his 15 home runs came at home. And, San Diego's not such a great place to hit. It certainly doesn't have that short porch and left field, then really close left field fence because of the green monster. So Yeah, I think it kind of locks Xander Bogaerts into being more of the 15 homer type we saw last year than the 25 homer type we've seen in years past. I don't think he's going to get a lot worse than last year. I feel like that's kind of the low mark for him. But now it's more likely that this is who he is going forward. Still going to be in a great lineup, a star-studded lineup, obviously. Going to reliably hit 300 in the middle of that lineup. So, yeah, he's still going to be a great starting option at shortstop. I think clearly stands out more in points leagues than in Roto now. But in Roto, I would say Bogaerts is, let's see, where do I have him? Eighth. I don't know that I'm so motivated to downgrade him, but some of the guys I have behind him, Tim Anderson, certainly O'Neill Cruz, they have a lot more upside, I would say.
Yeah, I could definitely see it with O'Neill Cruz, specifically in a Roto or a categories league. Obviously, the plate discipline is pretty rough there. You know, I probably came off as too negative on Xander Bogaerts. He's still an amazing hitter, and the top half of this Padres lineup is loaded. I mean, this is something you see in an all-star team. I mean, we're talking about, I think Fernando Tatis is probably going to lead off when he's healthy. Then they have Juan Soto batting second. They're going to have Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts hitting right in the middle of that. So the counting stats could be massive here for Xander Bogaerts. I don't want to discount that. And again, batting average is going to be awesome, but I just don't really know where the power is going to be, Scott. I think he's probably more of a 15 to 18 home run hitter at this point. Maybe he can pop 20. He's going to run a little bit, but again, the park factor is a big negative shift for him. Using the StatCast park factors for right-handed batters in particular, Boston was third the past 3 years. San Diego, 27th. If we look at just for home run park factors, Boston was 12th. San Diego was 19th. So no matter what way you want to look at it, this is a downgrade in terms of the park. Obviously, the lineup is amazing here. The early ADP for Xander Bogaerts is 87, according to the NFBC, which actually seems like a pretty fair value for Xander Bogaerts. Maybe it jumps up a little bit now, but that is the eighth round of a 12-team league, the sixth round of a 15-team league. Scott, what do you think about that price tag? 87 early on here for Xander Bogaerts.
Let's see. That makes him the 11th shortstop off the board. Of course, NFBC selling out harder for upside than I would, so they have O'Neill Cruz ahead of him by quite a bit. They also have Tommy Edman, Tim Anderson, who I mentioned ahead of him.
To be honest, Scott, if you look at the position, it's just really bunched up too. There's so much talent. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shortstops going within 20 picks of each other that are all like really talented guys.
Yeah. And that's probably how most drafts will play out. You'll get a little shortstop run there after the shallower positions are, after their really high end types are off the board. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's basically fair. 85th overall. Let me see if I can pull up my top 300 real quick to see how it compares to where I have him. I'd be fine with him as my starter still. I'm not expecting to be the guy who pays up for like Francisco Lindor or Bo Bichette. I just think there are going to be more pressing needs at that point. So I have Xander Bogaerts 69th. Currently, I may move him down a little with this news. It's kind of at the start of that run as opposed to toward the end of that run where the ADP shows him, but I think it's more or less fair.
All right, let's talk about some of the ripple effects here, Scotty, specifically with the Padres. Looks like Ha-Seong Kim will slide over to second base. Jake Cronenworth can play first base for this team. And I think ultimately it helps the counting stats all around for some of those names in the top half of the lineup. You know, maybe even for a Jake Cronenworth or Ha-Seong Kim who will bat there in the back half of that lineup. For the Red Sox side of things, Trevor Story could easily slide back over to shortstop if they want to do that. You know, maybe they still look to bring in a Dansby Swanson and leave Trevor Story at second base. There's a few different ways the Red Sox can go, but just the way that things are constituted right now, Trevor Story would likely play shortstop, and then you know, I guess they can use Kike Hernandez or Christian Arroyo. The hope is that they
give Manuel Valdez, baby.
That's what I was about to say next, is that hopefully the Red Sox give their prospect and Manuel Valdez a shot here to play second base, but
not an especially high end prospect, but an interesting one for fantasy as a bat first guy. I think the plan when they signed Story last offseason was, okay, in case we can't bring back Bogarts, this is our shortstop for the next several years. So that's what I expect to happen there. I think the ripple effect is more interesting for San Diego because it's like, okay, so Fernando Tatis is just done being a shortstop, huh? Like, that's just, he's out.
Yeah, outfielder. Yeah.
Right. You got both of them locked up into the 2030s. Now, Xander Bogaerts isn't going to be able to play shortstop until he's 41, obviously. So, already he's, it's funny. He'll probably be the opening day shortstop for the Padres, but he might be the fourth best shortstop in their starting lineup between Ha-Seong Kim, who am I thinking of? Ha-Seong Kim, Fernando Tatis, and Manny Machado. I would say Manny Machado is probably a better shortstop defensively than Xander Bogaerts, even though he hasn't played there in a while. So, I wonder how much they'll move guys around. Like, Kim, does it really make sense for Kim? As like the main thing Ha-Seong Kim brings to the table is defense, and you're keeping him from playing shortstop. I don't know. That seems a little weird to me. And maybe he won't be an everyday player anyway.
Yeah.
First base, obviously easy position to fill with offense. Do you really want to confine Cronenworth there? I don't know. But the big takeaway is this might be the last year of shortstop eligibility for Fernando Tatis. So enjoy that while it lasts.
I just don't know where else they can go, Scott. I mean, this team has so much money paid up in their top four hitters in their lineup. I don't know that they're going to use more resources for even like a DH type or a lumbering first baseman, whatever it might be. So I think for now, it just kind of makes sense to slide Cronenworth over. And I guess Ha-Seong Kim to second base. I also drafted one team where I have Ha-Seong Kim. So I'm just kind of hoping he remains in the starting lineup, and I'm crossing my fingers there, but he is really good defensively. And I think they'll move him around and he'll continue to play. That's everything going on here with this. Again, Xander Bogaerts, once again, 11-year, $280 million deal, massive contract with the San Diego Padres. And we'll see what happens next if the Boston Red Sox try and pivot and bring in a Dansby Swanson, or they'll just rock with Trevor Story at shortstop for now. For Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching this emergency edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again on Tuesday, hopefully. Bye-bye.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it all on fire. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.